I'm out to Union City, Indiana, pretty close to the Ohio line. Lots of farm fields around here, even a horse ranch on part of the property. Get workhorse, get the idea. But we are having an opportunity to spend some time in the workhorse planting. This is not an all-new plant, but it may as well be. $34 million worth of improvements, upgrades to create a brand new vehicle here, as well as bringing in a couple things to operate as stopgaps for a while. The Tropos Class 1 and 2 vehicle and the Class 3 and 4 W750, which comes out of Green Power Motors. So what we've got is the opportunity to spend a little bit of time in workhorse today. Hope you enjoy it.
When I got here back in August of 21, I think the fourth day I was here, I visited Union City to meet the people and tour the site. And quite honestly, I was shocked. Or maybe I shouldn't have been shocked, but I was. And just what disrepair the operation was in. And most of the equipment was really dated back to the 1970s and 80s. It came down from General Motors, either the truck group and Pontiac or up in Flint, Michigan. That was the bad news. The good news was the bones of the facility were in pretty good shape. Good layout, good roof, good building, good power. And so I knew with my experience that from 20 or 30 years now that we could do something there for sure.
Stacy Chesterfield, who is the HR manager for the workhorse plant here in Union City, Indiana. Interesting background in terms of how you named the different parts of this facility. You want to give us a little hope with that?
Yeah. When we were revamping the facility, Radio Chatter was trying to send forklifts to different buildings and using old names of buildings of previous businesses that had been on our property. And we just decided, hey, we probably should make that about us. And we'd already called the ranch. This is the ranch here in Union City, the plant. And so the employees were able to make suggestions. We put out a poll and they made suggestions and had to stick with the ranch theme. So they came up with things like the barn. The main factory portion of the building or of the plant is the barn, because that's where all the work happens on a farm or on a ranch. All of our raw material and stock is kept in the stockyard, because that's where you would keep the stock for the ranch. So everything stuck with that ranch name, and our employees were pivotal in choosing those and voting on them.
Where do you put the batteries? That's got a special name too.
Sure. Those are in the hay mound. So the hay mound is where you keep all of the feed for your animals. The batteries are the feed for our trucks. So that was where we chose and how we chose the hay mound.
Facility would be what you would consider a traditional old school manufacturing facility when we started. And basically, we opened up the doors on one end, bulldozed everything out, and started from scratch. There's not a square foot of this facility that has not been refurbished in some form or fashion to where you see today. It's really a greenfield startup of a brownfield facility, similar to what you see in some other companies. We started from scratch with the right team, the right processes, and the right equipment. To build and develop a world-class manufacturing facility. Okay, so to my left over here is our 4.5-acre horse pasture with horse barn built by the Amish. And it's got a three-stable capacity plus a tack room. And then the front end, we've got prep for conference room for the future. We work with a local family, the Woodburys, and they help us with perch-around horses to bring out for Investor Day. Let's say special events, et cetera. So it's a really nice touch for our marketing and our theme of workhorse. We're at Station Zero on the chassis line here in Union City. And Station Zero is where it all happens and begins. So we really start with raw material. I have framed side rails over here on my left-hand side. They come in from our supplier. Then I actually add the cross members that you see over here on this other table and the fasteners. And it goes on a fixture cart. And our associates put it together from this station on. And it's the base or foundation for the chassis. Once it progresses down the chassis line, we'll add brackets, electrical componentry, cooling lines, et cetera, our powertrain and battery supply, and then we'll go into suspension, wheels, et cetera, instrument panel, and then on to commissioning and through our dyno to do a completed strip chassis version here at the plant. If we decide or the order calls to become a step van, it turns and jumps down the body line. And at that point, we do fill all the components here in sub-assemblies and assemble the body to the strip chassis to give us that band.
So I think we're the only company in North America that can build a Class 5-6 chassis and put the cabin box onto the same building. Everybody else has to get their chassis from somewhere, and it goes either to Utilimaster or Morgan Olson to get the cab and the bodies.
We're at 5 vehicles today. We have to add our manning and get that up to speed. We currently are around 4 days a week, 10 hours a shift. So we have Friday, Saturday, Sunday for the associates to take rest or for us to do some maintenance. And then if we wanted to expand on capacity from there, we go to 2 shifts, add the labor from the local community, and we just continue to make vehicles.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned the local community, because I understand that most of your people come from within 20 miles. All I saw coming in was farmland. So I presume this are farming families that are basically doing this.
This is true, right? We've got all different types of associates here, and then we're working with the local school and technical, vocational, educational the personnel to develop more of local talent here so they can leave high school or their technical school and come right to work here. They don't have to worry about going to other communities to look for work. They can have it right here in their hometown.
So what are we looking at here?
So behind me is the four of the strip chassis that we have currently in stock here at Union City. Two of these four are actually the first two vehicles built on the assembly line, 001 and 002. So these are their first vehicles ever made by this team here at Union City. So it's kind of nice to keep, we have those vehicles to keep those to remember to say, hey, look, this is where it all started. These are the first vehicles we manufactured in this facility.
And that's a ground up vehicle. This was nothing that was actually here before the current management team. Is that right?
That's true. Really, if you look at design and you look at supply chain, you look at the culture or the people here, it's all really revamped since Workhorse took over. It's from the basement up design, right? So really, it's if you look at it, it's a standard type chassis design like you would see, straight rails, etc. But really look at COTS parts and things like that, a design from the basement up on these things. So all Workhorse design.
And these all have all been, at this point, have you gone through the safety and the crash testing of these, or you do you need to even do that because they're chassis? And that's something...
Because there's chassis and step vans, you don't do a crash test. Like, but we do our durability testing, which we passed all those, and our FMVSS testing have all been completed and approved.
So, Brad, Workhorse actually has a couple of products, one that you're standing next to now, that really, maybe the word isn't stopgap, but it's kind of like that. It's something that is to tide you over until you're really into full production on your own trucks. Is that right?
This is true. For example, the Tropos next to me is a contract manufacturing agreement we have. And really that gave us an opportunity to have our associates exercise really some manufacturing skills, right, to put this truck together. This is a class 1-2 vehicle, really kind of used, if you will, internally in factories for, if you wanted to say, ambulance, fire engine, dump truck, garbage, contractor pack, things like that. Really a nice little vehicle. And then we work together with them right now to do assembly and development with them. We have multiple packages that will go in the back. It's a quick exchange. So a fork truck comes in, take the box off, brings the next one in. So it's like a Swiss Army knife. I can take this Tropos and I can take it from a dump truck to an ambulance to a fire engine, et cetera, contractor pack with really a very little difficulty at all.
Bulgaria, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
So at this point, how many of these have you put through the plant?
Totally, last year we built about 56. And then this year, this is our first 8 that we're doing. And we're working on our next shipment of batteries to finish out the other 8. And then we'll work 4 from there.
At this moment, I am securing this plastic down over top of our batteries and things. So the batteries and all our fluids and stuff underneath here don't end up getting paint anywhere. Here in just a little bit, we're going to be covering up this windshield with paper. We have, so far today already, we've gotten these windows, our little side windows here are covered up. We've taped the passenger door shut since it's no longer needed at the moment. And basically, we're just trying to, we're working on ways to improve keeping paint from getting on the inside through the driver's side door. We've taken the glass out. There's plastic in the windows now. And we've got my associate co-worker down here. She is taping off the back door. It's Cody. She's taping off the back door so we can keep it from getting any paint on it And it's basically what our job is. Here later, we're going to go up top and we're going to put plastic across the roof. Basically, our job is to make sure that no paint gets on the inside of the truck. So over here, what we're doing is we're taping up everything, making sure no paint gets in. And there's no paint goes where paint's not supposed to be at. And then it'll go through our booth and out to the other side to the after paint.
So this is a W56. And every one of the vehicles that we produce here, we take them on a 5-mile road test. We go off-site. We go over railroad tracks. We go through the countryside. And then we'll take them on our shake and rattle track, which is really kind of like a, it's kind of like a simple NVH track that tells us, hey, how's everything functioning? And then we really go through a water test, et cetera, like that. So we'll just take off and ride around campus just real quick so you can kind of understand what it's like in a electric vehicle.
Yep. Now, what are these governed to speed-wise?
69.
Okay.
Yeah, so when we take them out, sometimes we try to go a little faster, and it bottoms out at 69. So...
which should be plenty for something like this.
Your last mile delivery, really. I mean, you're going through intersections. You're doing your delivery stops. And the last mile solution drivers usually drive around an average of 88 miles per route. Let's say they do 100, 120 stops or so. So really, I mean, it should function very well in that type of environment. You load up, you go out, you do your route. And then when you get down at the end of the day, you go plug in and charge up for the next day. So all the saddle blankets we put on, we color match. So these will come back through our system and get painted in our state-of-the-art paint line that we do our W56s in. And we can paint W750s if a customer would want. This is our finished goods inventory lot, which is controlled, as you see, with the gates, etc. I've got an amount of Tropos vehicles there. And then W750s on the left-hand side, about 11. On the north end, we lease that off for one of our dealers. Those are dealer-owned vehicles down there. And then up in this area, if you're seeing W4CC trucks that are ready for sale.
We built the plant. We got the products. We got the people. We need the orders. Key right now is for us to land one of these big fleets. They need to put a stamp of approval on workhorses that these are what we're going to bet on right now.
You know, getting an opportunity to get in a plant, even one where everything is 100% manually done, is a pretty special opportunity. And we really thank the folks here at Workhorse Group in Union City, Indiana, for letting us in to see the operation, to see what's happening where a company that's building 5 vehicles a day might someday build 10,000 in a year. It's possible. We saw the white space. We saw a lot of places to put more product. And it's really great to see what's happening at Workhorse after really a number of years of uncertainty. And so good for them and great for everybody to get to see it along with us. Thanks for watching.